You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. You know what time it is. You just watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And now it's time for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. This is episode 106, Fizzed, or F-Z-Z-T, depending on how you want to phrase it. I think that Fizzed sounds far more electricity-y, so it's more appropriate. I am Matt Lieberman, and we finally have the full panel on the podcast. Introduce the lovely ladies, starting to my right, Miss Megan Salinas.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Kristen Carroll.
Hey, guys.
And Joyce Ajuri.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome to the podcast. So, everybody, we had a couple of weeks off after episode 5, which we all agreed was a huge step forward in the quality of the show. And I just want to say, as excited as I was then, tonight's episode has me over the moon with my excitement. Yeah, because like, here's the thing. It was a far more intimate kind of a story. The stakes were extremely high, but they were high for our characters. I didn't care about the world in this. I cared about our people. And we learned a hell of a lot more about them. And I can sufficiently say that I have a reason to care about every single person on this show now.
Yeah, which is something we definitely talked about in the past. Especially Fitz and Sim were like, oh, they're cute and adorable, but we don't know anything about them. But this time we're watching, we're like, don't die.
It's
so true.
And then Fitz got over himself, and he threw himself into the fray, and he realized how much he cared about her, and our love triangles got way messier, and we're going to talk about all of that. But first, I want to jump into the opening and to kind of this virus plot. So we've got these campers out in the middle of the woods telling scary stories, as you do, We got a bit of a hum here.
Humming,
we're trying to take care of. And they kept hearing this humming. These volunteer firemen.
I'm just trying to keep it in the mood for you guys.
Thank you.
Kind of scare you slightly.
Yeah.
Is this room gonna start to float?
So there's this massive electrical disturbance. Stuff starts floating around, and this dude lets out a huge blast of electric current. A whole bunch of megajoules, and he's left floating in the air. We don't know what's up, and the team is dispatched to solve the mystery.
That's what happens when you walk away from a campfire. Like, the only thing that was missing was he didn't say, I'll be right back.
And yeah.
He said, I'll be right back. It's like, ah, oh, man. But no, that was that was very X-Files, just to see him floating like that. And then when the team comes in, like, what is that, like a day later, and he's still floating?
It's like the next morning. It's a few hours. He hasn't been disturbed. And yeah, he's still floating. Just super,
super. That was
super
really bizarre to me.
And creepy. Like a cool, creepy visual.
I was just thinking, where's Chris Angel? I mean, that's what's going to happen here.
Mind freak.
He's on their index. He's on their index, and he's gone rogue.
Yeah. I wonder if in this universe there are any celebrities who are on the
like how men in, I kept referencing Men in Black this whole entire episode.
Really?
But, you know, in every Men in Black movie, it's like Dennis Rodman. Well, that's not much of a disguise, you know, stuff like that. So
totally. But in this case, we've got these volunteer firefighters who helped out after the Battle of New York. And they're now dealing with this virus. At first, our intrepid heroes think that it's some kind of weapon. We see this Chitauri helmet. And they were just polishing it. And they got exposed to this awful electricity disease.
How how crappy is that, like, to survive the Battle of New York, to, like, go in and, you know, go into the fray and come out alive, only to get killed out in, like, a reverse War of the Worlds scenario? You get killed by alien bacteria instead of alien bacteria killing aliens.
Or human bacteria killing aliens. Yes, that is an exact reverse.
So bad.
I know. And, like, these guys, you know, they're heroes. And one of the things that really cemented for me in this episode that I really like about this series is, like in the world of comics, we haven't forgotten about all the crazy things that have happened in these movies. The world has been forever changed. The Battle of New York changed the game for everyone around the world. Aliens came to Earth and killed thousands of people, nearly took over the world, if not for the Avengers. We know the existence of aliens. We know that they're a constant danger. We're still rebuilding from it. Like, that to me is so cool, because we don't get that anywhere else, unless it's like a show that's set in a post-apocalyptic future.
Mm-hmm.
It's a post-apocalyptic present, except the apocalypse was aborted. Post-aborted apocalyptic present.
And I love that consistency, too, because sometimes, you know, when you watch TV shows, they don't really go along with a lot of the other stuff that you've seen outside of that. And it's refreshing.
It actually feels like an expansion on the universe.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't feel gimmicky. It doesn't, kind of like when they make a joke, it's like, oh, you don't have to start calling me Iron Man. But it feels so natural now. And I felt like in previous episodes, it was maybe shoehorned in a little bit, you know, when they were still finding their footing. But they're really doing a good job of building off of that and running with it.
They are. And I wasn't kind of expecting it. We even said, like, what were they talking about New York? Like, is it like a historical thing? Like, is it from the universe? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lived-in universe that even though we've only been getting little pieces of it 2 hours at a time since 2008, you know, it's a world that we as viewers and fans have been living in since then, and fans of the comics have been living in even longer. And I really like that they understand that, and they're not trying to retcon anything. Everything that we've seen so far in this universe has happened in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It just won't always influence our characters.
Right. And that's really refreshing, too, just given how many reboots there are, like, even within Marvel movies, like Spider-Man getting rebooted after 3 films and everything like that. So it's really nice to see that consistency.
Totally. So we get to this firehouse. We finally track down. We think it's a murderer. And this last guy, I unfortunately do not remember his name.
Tony Diaz.
Tony Diaz, who, when he said Tony, for a hot second, did anyone think he was going to say Tony Stark? Like, it was like, I was so dumb of me, but I'm just like, Tony Stark. Like, because when I first saw the helmet before we saw the second shot, like when you just saw the top of it and it just was kind of shiny, I'm like, is that like an old Iron Man helmet he's got?
He was so influenced by Iron Man that he changed his name legally.
He changed Tony Stark. Exactly. Changed his name and his beard.
There were quite a few Tony Starks for Halloween this year. But yeah, he needed the goatee if he was going to try to pull that off.
Yeah.
Do that.
Well, maybe his was patchy. A lot of men can't grow a full goatee. It's a problem. It's a widespread epidemic, like this virus very well could have been. And the scene that Coulson shared with Tony was incredibly touching and a little surprising. We'll get into Coulson a bit more later on, and we'll definitely talk about that scene at length. After the first half of the episode, the tone and the type of episode shifted completely when we found out that Gemma Simmons had been infected with this awful virus.
Well, and what a cool way how they did it, you know, because she's all excited about what's going on and how she figured it out, and you just see something in the back
float up in the air,
and you're like, yeah.
Never expect it.
Your heart breaks a little bit for her.
Nobody expects the electricity disease.
And you can just see it on Coulson's face, too.
Oh, no.
Just like that, oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And he steps out of the room, and just like, it's utter, utter heartbreak.
We played the character, too, who's always been optimistic. I mean, she's always, even with Skye last week, she was like, I think she still means to do well. And so you do pick the one that, you know, it was either Fitz or Simmons, the ones that are always the happy ones that you're going to
totally
mess with.
And they hadn't really received a ton of love from the writers yet. So, like, yeah. to give them a strong outing like this was, like, really, really important to their development as characters. We're about to discuss that at length. I just want to talk really quickly about iTunes. Ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much for all of your ratings and comments on iTunes, comments on the Twitter, tweets on the Twitter, comments on the YouTube. We try to have as great of a conversation with you as possible, and we try to respond to as many comments and Twitter tweets. My brain is off. This is my third back-to-back show tonight, so forgive me.
It's 11 o'clock at night.
It's 11 o'clock at night. Cut me a little slack, guys. Gals. So we love having that conversation with you, so keep them coming. If you like our show and you want to help us out, one thing you can do is you can go on iTunes, slap us with a 5-star rating. It helps keep the show searchable when people are looking for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcasts. It helps our bosses know that we're doing a great job. If you don't have access to iTunes and you want to help us out, one thing you can do, you can email AfterBuzzTV at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. Subject line, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the best. And let them know how much you like what we're doing, because it helps us to have them know you like the show.
And it's cool to interact with you guys. I mean, we really appreciate it. We had somebody send us an email the other day, which, I mean, that makes our day to know that you're enjoying it.
Oh, we had the most glowing email after the last show from Chigawap. You're the man. And we've gotten great tweets. People are sending us articles. We had the great EW article NY Polska sent us this week. So keep it coming. We'll give out our handles.
Which is awesome. Now I'm even more excited to see Thor.
Yeah.
Which I am seeing that immediately on Friday.
I know. Well, is everyone seeing it this weekend?
Yes.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah. Unless it gets sold out. I don't know. Maybe should we
Friday's probably already sold out. All right, we'll talk about a group
don't
outing.
Tell me that.
We'll talk about a group outing after the show.
I'm going to find a way, Matt. You can't stop me from seeing Thor.
I can't. But AMC can.
Not even S.H.I.E.L.D. could stop me.
There we go. You hear that? S.H.I.E.L.D., Kristen Carroll belongs on your list. Okay. So at the top of the episode, Fitz has this scene with Skye where Skye's talking about like how Ward doesn't trust her, and Fitz is kind of giving her like little googly eyes.
A little flirtation.
Yeah. Okay, that was adorable.
Right?
No, it was really cute.
You're like, you're so cute, you're trying to flirt.
Yeah, you know. Is like, yeah, your connection with him is kind of like the connection that we have. I have a terrible my Fitz accent is garbage, so I'm not even going to try anymore. And she's just steamrolls right over it. Like, I know, but so we, at least for me, I always just, okay, Fitzsimmons, they're a pair, they're lumped together, they'll probably wind up together, blah, blah, blah. Oh no, Fitz, he's kind of like, he's been around Gemma's whole career, he sees her maybe more as like a sisterly character, at least that's what he thinks at first.
Right.
By the end of the episode, who knows? But, you know, he and Simmons, they have this fight about like being in the field and the fact that she pulled him out. She's working on this corpse and he's like, he's miserable. And he says, he has this line where he's like, you know, like you've been by my side like every day since school, since training. And now we're here and you're by my side again. And I think it hits him for the first time that like maybe she has some feelings that she hasn't brought up and that maybe she doesn't know how. But then after Ward saves her at the end of the episode, there's kind of this weird little tension thing going between them too. So, like, what's up, guys?
It's like that thing, like, you don't realize how much you appreciate or love somebody until you're going to lose them or until you, you know, you feel like you're never going to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
You miss them and you're like, oh, I want them back in my life. That's,
right?
That's what I felt he was, like, going through.
And just Fitz, like, he couldn't let her die. And
no.
He was willing to throw his own life to do it.
So cute.
So romantic. And it just made me finally like him. Like him in a real way. He was willing to sacrifice himself for another person, whereas he's always been just this complainy guy so far. I loved their banter, and they were making fun of Ward. And
his Ward impressions were fantastic.
That was so funny. I love how that came like 180 at the end. Like, yeah. It was hilarious.
And Ward knows their Ward impressions. He isn't good enough at it. It's a little more nasally, a little more pinched.
So I thought that was him being kind of flirty with her. I mean, I think that was, I don't know, it could just be they're being friendly.
Yeah.
But I think after Sky kind of screwed it up, and he's like, man, she just had some fun with it at her
now ex. Yeah. I think this sort of circumstance, though, I think, because they had that moment where he's like, you know, you can stay if you want. And, you know, they're watching Fitz and Simmons try to work on an antidote. And he's like, I wish this was a person, somebody I could hurt, superpowered guy that, you know, we could beat, you know, someone with a face.
An amazing scene. And it was, like, really revealing of his character. He's somebody who's got, he's got a lot of anger, and he feels helpless when he's not able to help people. Like, he on some level was put on this planet to help people, help the people that he cares about, and protect them. And if he feels neutered, he doesn't know who he is.
Well, and yeah, he found something that he's good at doing. You know, he started when he was at a young age with his little brother, and now, you know, he just keeps doing it in his profession, and he can't do anything. I think that's another reason, besides probably thinking Fitz can't get to her. Yeah. That's another reason he's like, oh, this is, you sit down, I got this. Yeah. I need to do something.
He's, and like, it was finally!
That's like all he knows. Like, that's all he knows.
And this
how to
is
do.
Probably why they shine, like, so well as a team. Well, why everybody works so well is because they do all have those things that they excel at. Mm-hmm. You know, he could never do what Fitz did. And simultaneously, Fitz probably wouldn't have been able to get to her.
Can you imagine if Fitz actually did jump out of that plane and try to save her?
We would have had to try to get
how
both
would
of
they
them.
Have, how would they have, like, gone with that, I wonder.
Tony Stark would literally would have had to come in and do what he did.
How awesome would it have been if Iron Man or Captain America or Thor just, like, came out of nowhere and that was, like, the Thor movie tie-in.
That was the Thor movie tie-in. That'd be weird.
Best crossover ever.
It'd be kind of cool. It'd be weird, but it'd be really interesting.
Yeah. Just going back to the Ward Simmons shippers, one thing that's different about their relationship now, I don't think he had ever clutched her body to his own before grabbing her in the air, and she straddled him in midair. And then they were wet and holding each other in the water.
And there was some that electricity water between them.
Oh, that's there was a spark!
Oh. We'll have to talk off air. If we had a pun jar on this show, like we do on my Sleepy Hollow show, that would be worth a whole dollar. Electricity between. Shame on you, newbie. No, I celebrate it. I celebrate your pun.
Someone actually did comment on YouTube. There is an official ship name for Sky and Agent Ward. It is Skyward.
So. Skyward?
Yeah.
Oh.
It sounds like a level of entrance. Like, yeah. Welcome to the Skyward.
Yeah.
Instead of level 7, it's welcome to Skyward.
I'm just thinking of Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword because I'm a nerd.
I was thinking about last episode. Her boyfriend's name is Miles and her name is Sky. They're Sky Miles. That was like my train of thought when, like, I heard his name the first time.
There's a theme.
That's their
going.
Celebrity yeah. name.
They're all on a plane for forever.
True.
They are earning a lot of Sky Miles.
Is this actually just an elaborate, like, commercial for to get frequent flyer miles?
No.
Perhaps.
I say nay. There's far too much cool stuff going on for it to just be that.
Credit cards with the shield logo on it.
Yeah. But, like, this episode, to me, illustrated what I think will ultimately be the best types of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes, is that it was very, very emotionally intense, mm-hmm. and all of our characters were in danger, but it was ultimately about their relationships and their desperation to save each other, how much they care about each other. Everyone was doing their job to the best of their ability. There was just a tone here that just never let up, even before the turn and Gemma getting infected.
Yeah, it was really great. You saw all of their insecurities mm-hmm. and all of their strengths within the same episode. I mean, it really, you got to see a lot of each character, which again is something that I feel that we've been missing, and how they were able to hit every single one of those points at every character, and it didn't seem too much. Is a testament to their writing.
They found the balance.
Mm-hmm. And Megan, you put it perfectly earlier, like, so many feels. Stop!
And we're watching the episode, I throw down my notebook after a while, and I was just like, darn didn't show what's wrong with you. I don't need these feels in my life.
No, what's right with you? Give me all the feels. I want to be exhausted watching this show.
I have enough feels. Thank you very much. Yeah. I don't need more.
No, it's not enough for the show to be cool. It also has to just pull at our heartstrings and rip them out and tie them in a knot and then put them back incorrectly.
Oh. As long as they weren't going to Game of Thrones it and like start killing all the agents.
We were talking about that.
We're going to make you love them and then we're going to kill them off.
Well, this is the Joss Whedon audience. Show. This is the Joss Whedon show. That still could happen.
That's true. That's very true.
There's a mosquito in here. I was trying to kill him.
Oh, no. That's
bastard.
Good.
He was going to Agent Ward him.
Yeah. No, apparently I'm more of a Fitz because I let him get away. Jeez. All right. Speaking of other agents, we have two more to talk about who had arguably the most juicy storyline in terms of the whole series. So Coulson at the top of the episode is getting physical from Simmons, and he said, "Yeah, no, my doctor wanted it. So strange, 3 months away. We all know he's lying. Mm-hmm. He suspects something is up, like we all have, and everyone around him has. And he's finally caught up with the world around him, and he doesn't feel the same. Something is wrong, and he doesn't know what's going on with him. So he has this physical done." And then when he has that scene with Tony and he's trying to make him comfortable before he dies, he talks about what it was like to die. And I don't know about you guys. I've been waiting for this moment since the show was announced, where he recognizes that something is not quite right. You know, people have been telling him that he died for 8 seconds, but he doesn't think that that's true.
No, he knows it. It knows it was longer than that because he wasn't there anymore is what he said, and then said it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that's why he keeps saying Tahiti. Mm-hmm. Is it something
beautiful
that, yeah, something gorgeous, it's something relaxing, it's calming to him,
like that's what
it's
he's
a magical
it
place
to.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I hadn't done the exact like that's like a great A to C of like they didn't just program his brain that he went to Tahiti to recover, but that Tahiti was what he was calling the afterlife, that's, or wherever he was.
That's what I was thinking, because I reference Buffy an awful lot in here, but in Buffy, when she passed away, she was in this state until they brought her back, and she said it was actually more peaceful in this state, and it was something that she had always welcomed. Now, she didn't say it was Tahiti, but it was, you know, she lied to her friends for a little bit, but it was just this calm, and I think that's how they're going to end up, you know, kind of saying what this is with him dying, and if he is healthier than before, who knows what they, like, juiced him up with.
Yeah. Right?
What sort of...
So it seems like it's still him, because we saw that scar.
Yeah, right. So it's still the same body, or at the very least, a very accurate replica of the body.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting, when you know, he opened up his shirt, I was expecting some sort of, like, I don't know, you guys were talking about robots or something in the last show. Like, I was expecting something, you know, unreal, not very human.
Or his scar wasn't going
to
be
there. Yeah, I was expecting like it that. To not
Am I
have
the
any
only one who is expecting it to be some kind of weird sex scene?
I actually said that. I'm like, whoa, get some May. Next she's going to be like, take off your pants.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say no to her.
You can't say no to her.
See, when I was just like, kiss her. What are you doing? Kiss
right? Because like, there was that moment in that scene, this is at the end of the episode, where he's saying, you know, something isn't right. I don't know who I am. I've changed. And she says, you know, whether you died for 8 seconds or 30 seconds, you know, you'll be a different person. You know, it takes a long time to recover from something like that. Talking about Gemma, you know, God knows she gets choked up. And
do you think that was for Coulson, or was something happened to her that she also knows?
I mean, it could very well be, and it probably is, talking about whatever made her leave the field in the first place, which honestly, I'm starting to think she was on the ground in the Battle of New York somehow or in some way. But I thought that it was when she found out that he was dead.
That's what I thought,
too. It changed everything. And she left the field because he had died, and she couldn't go on without him because she's in love with him.
Yeah, to me, that's so clear. Like, that they have feelings for each other. There's a history there. Totally.
Something happened.
And yeah. Sky's their daughter!
Mama May.
I hope not, just because she was in the other room with with Sky and her boyfriend, and that's awkward.
You're grounded.
Well, didn't you get a little you're grounded in get dressed?
Did I ever get that? No.
Yeah. We had somebody on YouTube comment, and it was like, maybe Sky and Peter Parker are actually brother and sister.
Yeah, that was the most far-fetched of the things that we heard online, was that Peter Parker and Sky might be brother and sister, because in the comics, Peter Parker's parents were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. I don't know. Well, we can't do that. We can't do that because the rights are held by Sony, blah, blah, blah. It's impossible. Sorry.
But going back
lawyered.
To...
Lawyered.
Dang it. Done.
Going back to...
Going back to Coulson kind of basically facing that, you know, the fact that he was dead and that he's been there before. I feel like in the beginning of this series, he was kind of in denial. Like, that was the feeling that I got from him. And I feel like this episode is the first time that he's actually come to terms with it or faced it or actually realized after his physical that he is not normal anymore.
Yeah, and it was a big, vulnerable moment.
It really was.
Because he, ever since the show started, you know, he's been the leader. He's right. been the very stern one, the one giving the orders to everybody. And so it was very cool to, you know, just see him, like, let down that armor for just a second and go, something is wrong. Yeah. I'm not me anymore. What happened?
Yeah.
So touching.
But he's still got his heart, you know, when we want one aspect of this episode that we haven't talked about so far is Agent Blake, played by Titus Welliver, who first appeared in the Marvel one-off short Item 47, which is on the Avengers DVD and Blu-ray. And he tells Coulson, you know, if you've got an infected cargo, you need to dump it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, being Simmons, and Coulson is absolutely against it, and he pulls the old, I can't hear.
Going through a tunnel.
Yeah, going through a sky tunnel.
Man, this cloud is heavy.
Oh my god, if there's a guy named Tunnel on this show, and then he gets paired with Sky, they could be Sky Tunnel. Just saying.
You hear that, writers?
You hear that, writers? We want Sky Tunnel. Don't do that. The more I say Sky Tunnel, the more it sounds dirty to me. So we're going to move on. Yep.
That's why good I was idea. Staying
a little quiet. I've got nothing to add to that. I've got nothing to add.
So,
and then Agent Blake, when we saw later after the semi-credits, you know, kind
yeah,
of
at the sandbox.
To, yeah, at the classified sandbox location, he even says, this isn't the old Coulson. He's like, nope, get used to it.
Yeah. He's like, come to terms with it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, he's got his lady behind him on this. Yeah. So, of course, he's starting to more embrace the side of him. I mean,
reading into it. That's what we're doing. Reading into it.
They're becoming a family. And I like to see that. I like to see the family unit.
They really called them mom and dad in the other episode.
Yeah. But one thing with Agent Blake, that whole last scene, really, I got the impression that, you know, Blake says, you know, if you disobey orders again, they'll take this team away from you. Coulson says, I'd like to see you try. And then as Blake is walking away, he runs his hand along Lola. And as we all know, don't touch Lola.
Right. Oh.
And I think Agent Blake is angling to take over this team at some point. Where, like, that's a future storyline. Like, that's going to happen. I'm calling it.
Well, Coulson said, I'd like to see you try.
And he will try. He wants to try.
I don't think, I think battle. All of these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, most of them, they don't like being called out on stuff. If you notice, like, Nick Fury, you know, Coulson beforehand, Agent Hill, I mean, they're all, you try to tell them not to do something, like, oh, you want to play this game?
Yeah.
Well, let's dance.
Let's dance, mofos. Yeah. Okay, anything else to discuss with this episode? Fitzsimmons. And their emotional journey. We got Coulson and his reveal. We got some... We haven't really talked a lot about Sky, who's still kind of in the doghouse a bit. You know, Fitzsimmons are cool with her, but she's still got this tracking device. And now her, like, her job is, like, she's web girl. Like, not just, like, tech person, because, like, Fitz is tech person, but, like, you know, look up who this person is through their Facebook account.
They've like narrowed her responsibilities greatly.
She's just millennial girl. I can find an Instagram within 30 seconds of blah, blah, blah.
And even Coulson was like, okay, what have you got? And she's like, you already know what I've got. You guys are tracking everything I'm looking at with this little bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll explain it anyway.
Yeah. So.
This is the first episode we really saw her take a back seat to.
Definitely.
She's, you know, we're kind of done with her for a second, and now we're moving on.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like, I like her. I like her now, and that was a journey that took several episodes. But you're right. She's been the de facto star of this show for 5 episodes. Let's get in the back seat.
And it was Fitz and Simmons' turn to get a little development, so yeah. That was good.
And they got a lot of development. And for the first time, I felt like even though this episode was about them as a unit, you know, trying to take care of each other, for the first time, I was able to separate them as people and really identify their character traits, what they care about, likes and dislikes, and also, you know, see them potentially doing things apart from each other, namely their fellow teammates.
They have separate personalities. It's great.
It's great.
How funny was it that I'm not funny, haha, too much, but that Simmons knocked Fitz in the head.
Like, with a fire extinguisher.
All of these girls are just kick. Sky's got to pick up her game a little bit, but you know they're all very kick butt girls. And I did mention at the one point where it was funny where Sky came and hugged Simmons when she was alive, and I think that's because out of the whole group, it's probably her girlfriend.
Yeah, but she came in just as Simmons and Ward were bonding. And for a hot second, like, the way that they framed it, it looked like jilted woman.
She's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, let me pretend that I like her by hugging her. I'm not
like
jealous.
Her.
Oh, don't make
she
this
does.
Funny.
I know. Yeah. I know she does.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if she still has those x-ray specs. Am I right, ladies? Is that what this show has become? It very well might. I had too much fun doing that just then. Even the people at home can tell how much fun that was. Okay, we're talking predictions.
I will say, though, that I do think... Oh, never mind.
No. You can still say it. Just because he plays the sound effect doesn't mean your thought isn't valid.
Interrupt. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
No.
I was going to say that I do think that Ward and Simmons' relationship is more like sibling-like. I feel like he is kind of like her older brother. I mean, I know that it may seem like they're probably flirting or something, or, you know, they have like this cute humor between the two of them, but I feel like it's more like a sibling type of thing.
I'm very curious to hear from you guys at home how you felt about these potential pairings and whether or not you caught the same things as we did. Are we too ship happy? Is that possible? Who knows? But next week looks like we're getting a look inside level 8, which is 1 above 7 if you can't count. And the team is rubbed raw by this other SHIELD team and their fancy clearance. Next week is when we're getting the Thor the Dark World crossover.
Yeah, so thank you for the person who tweeted that.
Yes.
I can't think of right now just because it's so late. But yeah, the next one is supposed to tie in to the movie Thor, so you should probably go see that.
Sweet. Yeah, we...
Marvel needs to hire me for a second. So many Thor things. Yeah. I have no connection to Thor.
She will not make any money from the release of Thor the Dark World.
Well, and it'll be great, too, because Thor opens on Friday, so everybody will go on Friday, and then immediately on Tuesday, this episode ties into that, and they're like, oh, we should go see Thor again.
Yeah.
And again.
And it's just cool how we're linking these universes. Kristen and I and Megan tweeted out a few articles this week, articles and interviews that talk about the crossover episode and the series as a whole and kind of where it's going, the fact that we're going to get more Coulson reveals in the next couple of episodes. There's an episode, I can't remember the title of it. It was in one of the articles that I tweeted out this week, so check my Twitter. The title of the episode was something that was obviously about Coulson and is probably the first big reveal of his stuff. It's a Coulson episode. I think it's episode 8 or no.
8.
It's, yeah, episode... No, I'm going to say it's episode...
It should be 8 for level 8, clearly.
Right. I think it's going to be episode 9. Episode 9, if I recall correctly, is a Coulson-centric episode, so I'm so ready for that. Anyone else? Yeah. Thoughts?
So ready.
Predictions?
As Somebody's going to hook up on that plane.
Yeah.
Someone's going to join the Mile High Club.
Yeah. In the sky.
The Mile nice. Sky Club in the sky tunnel. Stop. Okay. We're going to wrap this up. Joyce, where can the people find you at home?
You can find me on Twitter at @JAzuri and on Instagram at @Erosia, which is my last name backwards, just in case.
Can you spell that?
It's at Instagram at @IRUOJA.
Okay. Kristen Carroll, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @KristenCarroll13.
All right. Megan?
On Twitter at @TheMenguin.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on the Sleepy Hollow and Sons of Anarchy after shows. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we will see you next week. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.